We are welcome to a newsman, everybody. We are holding in Sukkot Daf Lamed Tes. I wanted to do one little sugya before the Mishnah. It's not a little sugya. It's really a big sugya. It's a shas sugya of Birchas HaMitzvos in general, and specifically over Las Yassim, which the Gemara discusses. So we saw on Lamed Tes Amarav, the Gemara quotes that the previous Mishnah had said that if you're in a place where the minig is to be mevarich on Hallel, so then you mevarich on Hallel, you say brach on Hallel. The minig is not to say brach on Hallel, so you don't say brach on Hallel. So says the Gemara, Amar Abayi lo shanu ele le'achrav. When is this Taliya minag? That's only saying a bracha after Hallel. Avalafanav mitzvah levarich. But before Hallel, then you must say a bracha. It's a mitzvah to be mevarich. Every single mitzvah requires a bracha over Las Yassan. You need to make a bracha before you do the mitzvah. So therefore, it's absolutely necessary to say bracha before the Hallel, after the Hallel is tali in minhag. Once we mention that, so the Gemara says, okay, how do I know what the term over Las Yassan even means? Umay mashma dahay over lishna dakdumehu. How do I know that over means before? Gemara says, three psukim. Damar of Nachan bar Yitzchak, tichsiv ayaratz achimadz derech hakikor vayavor es hakushi. So that he came before, he bypassed the kushi and came before him. Abay yomar mehacha vu avar lifnehem. Three different psukim in Tanakh, all of which where the word avar means to come before, to come in front. So when we say that you have to make a bracha over Las Yassan, it means you have to make a bracha before you do a mitzvah. So before we get into the details of our Gemara, just some basic brachos issues, concepts of brachos issues. There are generally three types of brachos that we talk about. There's birchas mitzvos, there's birchas hananin, and birchas hashevach. Birchas hananin, it's pashut that you make a bracha before you get the hana'a. Birchas hashevach, it's pashut that you make the bracha after you experience the shevach. If you look in the formulation, the Gemara's and Maseches Brachos, the Gemara's discuss why it is that we have to make a Birchas Hanan. Birchas Hanan is a bracha on any form of hana, any food that you eat. Before you eat the food, you have to make a bracha. It's pashut, you need to make that bracha before you eat the food. What is the svara for bracha rishona? Now, bracha achrona, obviously, is a different story. Bracha achrona you make after you eat the food. But where do we get the idea? Where do we learn the chi of a bracha rishona? So I put in the Mar Makamos, there's a Gemara Maseches Brachos, and Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, going over to Lamed Hei Amud Beis, where the Gemara is a whole Amud basically trying to find out how we know from the Torah that you're supposed to make a bracha rishona. Where do we see a limud that we know where you're supposed to make a bracha achrona from? That's pashut. You bench after you eat. Where do we know that you're supposed to make a bracha rishona from? So the Gemara goes through gzeres shavas and limudim and rejects each one. And finally, at the end of the first paragraph in source number 3, the Gemara says, Ella svarahu. It's just simple svara. Asul aladam shiyana minol mazeb lo bracha. How could you get hana from this world without making a bracha? You're going to take something that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'ashema or etum lala. The whole world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could you go take something that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without first getting permission? So the bracha is your way of getting permission. And if you don't get permission, it's a violation of taking things that belong to Hashem, which we have a name for that in the Torah. That's called an Isser Me'ila. If you go into the Beis HaMikdash and you get hana from things that belong to the Mikdash, it's a violation of Me'ila. So the Gemara says explicitly, Asul Allah Ma'al. It's me'ila when you take something from Olam Hazeh without a bracha.
Isn't that going directly against the Mishnah of the other Gemara
that's
saying that you're not supposed to make a bracha
before? Midaraisa. The Gemara says that we don't find anywhere in the Torah that you make a bracha before. We'll get back to that Gemara in a second. We'll take a look at that Gemara in a second. Let me just finish this point from this Gemara. So Gemara says it's a violation of Mi'ila to get Hana'a without making a bracha. So Gemara says, what do you do if you violate it? So go to a Chacham. We're not part of that religion where Chacham can make your Averos go away. So Gemara says, no, don't go to a Chacham after you violate it. Make sure you go to a Chacham beforehand. Learn all of Hilchos Brachos. Then you'll know not to make a bracha and you won't violate the Yisr in the first place. If you violate the Yisr, you'll go to Gehenna. But try not to do that. Try to learn all the halachas that you need to know beforehand so that you're not going to violate any yisurim. But what you see clearly, the Gemara keeps on saying it over and over again, getting anah from this world without a bracha is like getting anah from katshe shemayim, it's like getting anah from hagdish. The world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says there's a stira. One end we have a pasuk that says Lashem Aretz Mla. On the other end we have a pasuk Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem Va'aretz Asan Levnei Adam, that the down here belongs to human beings. The Gemara says Lo Kasha Kan Kodem Bracha Kan Liacha Bracha. Before we make a bracha, it's all Hashem's. What does the bracha do? It takes that which belongs to Hashem and it makes it mutter for us to eat it. That's a birchas hanehenin. And the Gemara says that it's also stealing. It's gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Knesset Yisrael. Again, the bottom line is, it's something that's not ours. That's clear from the Gemara. Now, there is another Gemara in Brachos, Taf Chaf Aleph Amin Aleph, that Evan pointed out. The Gemara in Brachos, Chaf Aleph tries to figure out, there are only two Brachos that we know of in the Torah that are Midah Raisa. Two Brachos that the Torah actually says that you have to make. And that is Birchas HaTorah and Birchas HaMazon. Birchas HaTorah we make before we learn Torah. We darshan from the pasuk Hashem Hashem Ekra Havagoda Lelukenu. When you call out the Shem Hashem, which means Torah is the Shem Hashem, then Havagoda Lelukenu, you have to first make sure to say a bracha. It's actually machlokas Rashi and the Marsha, how to understand that drasha. Rashi says Ki Shem Hashem Ekra means is referring to the bracha. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, when you say a bracha, Havagoda Lelukenu, you then learn Torah. Godel Elokeinu is the Torah learning. Marsha says the opposite. No, Shem Hashem Ekra is a reference to the Torah learning. Havagodel Elokeinu is a reference to the bracha. Torah is Shem Hashem, and that's we've pointed out many times in the past. Torah is Shem Hashem, as Ramban writes in his Hakdama to his commentary on Chumash, that Kol HaTorah Kula is Shmos of Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the entire Torah is one big Shem Hashem. So when you say that Shem Hashem, meaning when you learn Torah, first you have a God Elokeinu. That's one bracha midaraisa, the bracha before you learn Torah. We also have another bracha midaraisa, v'achalta v'savata uveirachta, a bracha that after you eat and are satiated, you make a brich samazon. So that's a bracha also midaraisa after you eat. So the Gemara in Brachos Chafal tries to figure out, how do we know the reverse? How do I know that you have to make a bracha before you eat? How do I know you have to make a bracha after you learn? So the Gemara over there seems to have a different source for a bracha lefanav, not that it's a svara or mi'ila. The Gemara says it's a kal v'chomer, that if you have to make a bracha after you eat, kal v'chomer, you should have to make a bracha before you eat. Basically, the kal v'chomer is that if benching you have to do after you eat, I'm sorry, if birchas HaTorah you have to do before and not after, so birchas HaMazon, which you have to do after, all the more so you should have to do before also. That's the kal v'chomer the Gemara sets up. Sounds like it's two different svaras of why, they're both a svara, one's a kal v'chomer svara, one's a svara svara, as to why you have to make a bracha beforehand. But the Gemara emphasizes and overemphasizes in Lamed Hamad Aleph, Lamed Hamad Beis, this idea that a bracha rishona is about stealing from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that if you don't make this bracha, it's considered that you're stealing from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's a birchas hanenin. When it comes to birchas hashevach, so birchas hashevach, what are examples of birchas hashevach? You see, we just spoke about, you see a chacham, right? You see Rav Elchanan Wasserman, and you make the bracha b'shem malchus shechalak michach masal lebasar v'dam. That's birchas hashevach. You make that bracha before you see Rav Elchanan Wasserman, then you make the bracha after you see him. You see a rainbow, you hear thunder, you see lightning. All of those, birchas hashevach, that you only make after you experience the shevach. It's at the time of the greatest regesh, at the time of the greatest excitement over what you're experiencing, that's when you make the bracha. So the Gemara now discusses birchas mitzvos. So the Gemara says, okay, birchas mitzvos should be done before. Question is, the fact that why is it that a birchas mitzvah should be said before you do the mitzvah? Why not say birchas mitzvah during the mitzvah? Wouldn't that be more meaningful? I mean, I understand. By birchas hanenin, it's a matir. It allows me to get the hana. The world is usher to me. Lashem aratzim lo. The world is God's before I make the bracha. Making the bracha makes it mine. I get that. By birchas hashavach, I understand why you have to make it afterwards. Because it's when I feel inspired. When do I feel inspired or awe-inspired by the thunder? When I hear the thunder. Not before I hear the thunder. Not when I hear the weather forecast. It's when I actually experience it. That makes sense. Why does birchas mitzvah come before? Shouldn't birchas mitzvah come during the bracha? So there is a machlokes in the Yerushalmi. There's one daya in the Yerushalmi that says, yeah, that birchas mitzvah should be done during the mitzvah. And that makes plenty of sense. Why not? Let you do the birchas mitzvah while you're feeling inspired by the mitzvah. What's the svara for birchas mitzvah being done over las yasad? And technically, before you take any steps in the sugya, you could just say, well, we'll take what we know. We have birchas hanenin and we have birchas Shevach Vada. Maybe the fact that birchas mitzvah come before, either it's because it's in some way related to birchas hanenin, and birchas hanenin come before, so birchas mitzvah should also come before. We would then just have to figure out what that relationship is, Or maybe no. It's a third category of brachos. It's got nothing to do with brachos ha'nanin. And then we need to figure out some outside reason that it comes before. So we're going to have to figure out one of two things. Either we need to figure out what the relationship is, what the link is between brachos ha'mitzvos and brachos ha'nanin, or we're going to say, no, there's no link. Then we just need to come up with a svara, why to say brachos ha'mitzvos before you do the mitzvah. One or the other we need to answer in order to explain why we make a bracha before we do a mitzvah. You have a question?
Yeah, I was just going to say, adding to those points out, certain mitzvahs, you can't, there's no...
And what about mitzvahs that you can't make a bracha beforehand? Like Tevilas Ger, Tosa speaks about, right? If a Ger is going to the mikvah, so do you make a bracha? The Ger can't make a bracha before he goes to the mikvah. He's not a Jew, so he's not allowed to make the bracha. So when would you say, how important is it to make the bracha beforehand? Is it that if you can't make the bracha beforehand, you can't make the bracha at all? Or do we just say, you'll make it later? So by Tevilas Ger, what do we say? He makes the bracha, he just makes it later. Right? Do we always say that? Certain brachas you can't make beforehand, and because you can't make them beforehand, you don't make them at all, perhaps. What are examples of such brachas? So there's a Tshuvas HaRashba, I think it's Simin Yud Ches in the Tshuvas HaRashba, where the Rashba says that we don't make a bracha on the mitzvah of, let's say, giving tzedakah, because you're going to try to give tzedakah, the Ani is going to say, no thank you, and then it will turn out that you haven't done the mitzvah. So how could you make the bracha beforehand? You're going to make the bracha to do the mitzvah, then the mitzvah is going to be slapped back in your face and not going to be able to do the mitzvah, then it will turn out to be bracha levatala. So you can't make it before. But l'chora, what can you do? You can make it after. Does anyone make a bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah after they give tzedakah? At all? Ever? No. We don't make a bracha at all. So by which mitzvahs do you say, like Tosa says, I can't do it before, so I'll just do it after. And yet by other mitzvahs we say, assuming that the Rashba is correct, that the reason we don't make bracha submit on the chaver is because he might reject it, right? We say, I can't do it before, so I won't do it at all. I just won't make a bracha at all. Right? Very important question. So again, line up our questions. Why do we make a birch mitzvah over las yasa? We had two possibilities, either because it comes from birch sananin, in which case we need to figure out why it comes from birch sananin, or it has its own separate rule, in which case we need to figure out what that rule is. Why is it when it comes to birch mitzvahs, sometimes the inability to make the bracha before means we completely waive the requirements for the bracha, like by tzedakah? And other times, no, we keep the requirement for the bracha, say just do it later, like by Tevilas Hager. And throw in another question, the concept of making brachos over las yasam comes up all over the place in Shas. It's only in two places that the Gemara discusses how we know that over is a lishna da akdume. How I know that over means doing it before. In Pesachim, which is a primary sugya where you'd expect it, and over here, in Sukkah, at the minug of bracha of Hallel, all of a sudden the Gemara discusses again why over is the lishna d'akdume. So Soloveitchik raises that question: why over here? Why get into that discussion again over here? Refer back to Pesachim. Okay, we know that it's there. Not every time the Gemara quotes the concept of over las yasam do we get into this whole discussion how we know that over means before. But over here, for some reason, we thought it's important to have this conversation. Why is it so important to have this conversation over here? So this is the basic background. These are the basic background questions. Take a look at the Rambam in source number 6. The Rambam talks about all three types of brachos in source number 6. Hilchos Brachos, first parak of Hilchos Brachos, exactly where you'd expect him to talk about the general guidelines, the basic guidelines of all of brachos. All three types: Birch HaMitzvah, Birch HaNen, and Birch HaShevach. All three types are mentioned there. What does Rambam say? Midivrei sofrim levarich al kol maichel tchila v'achkach yehana mimenu. Midirabanu, we make a bracha on any food, and then after we make the bracha, we get hanah from it. V'afilu neskavin lechol ol lishtos kol shuhu mevarich v'achkach yehana. Even if you're just going to eat a very tiny drop, still you make a bracha rishona. Why is he telling me that? In contrast to bracha achrona, right? Bracha achrona is not even if you eat a tiny drop. Bracha achrona, you need to eat a shear. V'cheinim hi riach reach tov. You smell something good. V'varich v'achar kach yonim menu. You make the bracha first, and then get hana. V'kol hanen ablo bracha ma'a. And if you get hana without a bracha, Rambam says, Rambam puts this in the halacha. It's a violation of me'ila. You're stealing from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'chein midivrei sofrim levarich achar kol mashi yochal v'kol mashi yishla is also mitzvah to be mevarich after you eat and drink, as long as it's a revius, a kazai is fine. Next halacha says the Rambam, u'kishem shemevarchin al ha'anoya, kach mevarchin al kol mitzvah u'mitzvah. Just like you make a bracha on hana'a, so too you make a bracha on each and every mitzvah that you do. V'achar kach yasa osa. And then you do the mitzvah. U'brachos rabos tiknu chachamim derech shevach v'hudaya v'derech bakasha, k'dei lizkar es habori tamid. And you should know there are also a third category of brachos called Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, so that we could always keep God in mind. Afal pi shlo nene, even though you're not getting any anah from those, v'lo asa mitzvah, you're not doing any mitzvah. How do you understand the Rambam's categorization of the three types of bracha? Three types of bracha. It starts with Birchas Nenin, moves into Birchas HaMitzvah, and then on to Birchas HaShevach. Is he dividing them into three separate categories? Is he linking any two to each other? No, what do you see in the words of that Rambam? First halacha is 100% Birchas Hananin. It's all about Birchas Hananin. No, so second halacha. What's he doing in that second halacha, those last two lines? Let's focus on those last two lines. Why? Where do you see that? Well, the very first word of that halacha gives it away, right? What does it say? U'kishem shemevarchin ala anaya, kach mevarchin al kol mitzvah mitzvah. Same way you make a bracha on anaya, so too you make a bracha on mitzvah. Yet when he introduces Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, what does he say? U'brachos rabos tiknu chacham derech shevach v'hodaya. Why didn't the Rambam start the second halacha with v'gam tiknu chacham in bracha al kol mitzvah mitzvah? The rabbis also made a takana. When he gets to Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, he just starts a new sentence. Brachos rabos tiknu chacham derech shevach v'hodaya. But he doesn't do that. After talking about Birchas Hanan and making the segue into Birchas HaMitzvos, he says, u'kishem, just like you make a bracha on hana, so too you make a bracha on a mitzvah, and therefore, he doesn't say therefore, but he says, and you make the bracha before you do the mitzvah. Which makes it sound like the reason that you make the bracha before you do the mitzvah is that Birchas HaMitzvos are connected in some way, are linked, are thematically linked in some way to Birchas HaNenin. In some way, they're the same. And then he says, but then there's the outside, then there's the Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, which has nothing to do with Hanah or a mitzvah. There's Hanah mitzvah, that's one category, and Shevach V'Hodah, which is another category. Nothing to do with Hanah mitzvah. But what's this Hanah mitzvah situation? What's he talking about? What's the link between Hanah and Mitzvah? A Birchas Hanan and a Birchas HaMitzvah. So, that link is explored by some of the Gedolei Achronim. Rav Soloveitchik had a thing for people who went to YU, at least, it was a famous piece of Torah on this concept. Rav Shachter expanded on it. And Rav Yosef Engel sort of took it in a little bit of a different direction, more Rav Yosef Engel style direction. Well, let's take a look. Soloveitchik's basic part is as follows, that the idea that the Rambam's trying to convey to us is that the same way the Gemara makes a big deal about how Birchas Hananin is a matir, that prior to me getting Hanah from this world, the world doesn't belong to me, I'm not allowed to get Hanah from this world. I need permission before I get Hanah from this world. Before I eat my apple, I need permission in the form of a Bar Priya Eitz. It's a matir for the Hana'a. What the Rambam is trying to tell you is that a Birchas HaMitzvah is a matir for the mitzvah. That it's usher to do the mitzvah without first getting permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the problem with saying that, it fits the words of the Rambam very nicely. K'shem shemavarkon alinoy, kach mavarkon alkol mitzvah, and that's why you do it before, because it's usher to do it, it's a matir for the mitzvah. The obvious question is, why does a mitzvah need a matir? Here I'm serving the Ribbono Shel. Why do I need, what's wrong with that? Why do I need to get special permission to do a mitzvah? Hanah, I get, it belongs to him. A mitzvah is me, I'm doing something. It's not that I'm taking or benefiting or getting hanah out of anything that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what do I need a matir before doing a mitzvah? So the pashat mashal, I think, is if I were to show up in the White House today and, try to get to President Obama and say, I'm here and I'm ready to serve as your new Secretary of State. Like, he'd be like, I wouldn't get to him, obviously, but like, be like, you know, No one asked you. Who the heck do you think you are? You didn't even take a political science course in college. Like you don't know anything. I mean, what makes you think you couldn't like locate Europe on a map? I mean, how could you possibly think that you can come and serve as my Secretary of State? And you're like, you're so out of your league. You can't just serve. You have to be a somebody to serve. I can't even walk into a fancy restaurant and say, look at me, I could be a waiter. No, if it's a fancy enough restaurant, they have certain protocols. They want you to be able to do certain things. So you can't just show up and say, I'm serving you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who am I to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So I need a matir. Just like we have by tefillah. What do we say before Shemana Esrei? Hashem Sfasai Tiftachu Fi Yagid Yosecha. What's that? That's a matir. Who am I to come in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and start talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam and start telling him, I want this, I want Parnasa, and I want Refuah, and I want giving him my whole laundry list. Who do you think you are? So you need a matir first. The matir comes in the form of a bracha, in the form of Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. But that's how the Rambam understands Birch HaMitzvah. The Birch HaMitzvah serves as a matir to enable you to do the mitzvahs. Questions? Right. So what you'd have to say is that midrabanan, the rabbanan thought that it's appropriate to ask for the matir first. That the rabbanan said, even so, you need to at least acknowledge him first to be matir. Because you're right, on a daraisa level, that's why there are no birchas mitzvah on a daraisa level. Birchas Torah maybe, depending how you understand birchas Torah. But you have to say on a drabanan level, that's the way they understood it. So Rav Shachter uses this idea to answer a lot. I apologize for all the typos again. I typed up the passage from Eretz Tzvi in source number 7. He points out what we said before about the Tvilas HaGer, about a ger going to the mikvah. The Gemara Maseches Pesachim tells us that all mitzvahs are, you make a bracha before you do it, except for one, Tvila. You go to the mikvah, you make the bracha after you go to the mikvah. We're knowing to make a bracha after we wash our hands of Tilas Yadayim also. We're knowing to expand that to all sorts of Tevila and Netila. It's based on Tosos and Maseches Pesachim. Shechter is Taka of Makbid that he makes a bracha before he washes his hands of Tilas Yadayim. It's a story I like to tell when Rav Shechter was a scholar in residence in Shari Tevila when I was the assistant rabbi there. He was speaking at Shalosh Shudas, so he went to wash for Shalosh Shudas, and one of the boys from DRS who was in the shul at the time, I think it was in 11th grade, 10th or 11th grade, heard Rav Shechter making the bracha before he washed. So he was a nice boy. He went over to Rav Shechter afterwards and he told him, you know that the halacha is you're really supposed to make the bracha after you wash. Maybe you're not aware. So Shechter's like, okay, thank you very much. Okay. And so so the Gemara though says Tevila. By Tevila Sager. Of course, by Tevila Sager, you can't make a bracha before. And Tosus of their quotes, the Rabbi Chananel, that it's dafka tefillah sager because you can't say vitzivanu before he goes to the mikvah because he's still not a Jew. But other chayavei tefillah, bal keri, who has to go to the mikvah, he can make a bracha even before he goes to the mikvah. And that's what the Rambam paskins, that ein lecha mitzvah shemavarchan achar asiyasa ela tefillah sager bulvad. The only mitzvah you can make a bracha after you do is tefillah sager because you can't say asher kreshan mitzvah vitzivanu before you're actually a Jew, before you're actually nitztaveh. And therefore, as soon as you go to the mikvah, right afterwards, you make a bracha on the tevila, because the Rambam says you were dachui me'ikaro v'lo hayo ro'i levarich. You were someone who wasn't able to make a bracha before, you weren't ro'i to make the bracha, therefore you can make the bracha afterwards. And this concept of dachui me'ikaro, of someone who wasn't able to make the bracha before, therefore make it afterwards, comes straight from a Gemara bracha staf nun aleph, where the Gemara raises the following shaila. What if you ate and you drank and then you realize, whoops, I didn't make a bracha? So can you still make a bracha? In the middle of, you ate your slice of pizza and you realize you didn't make a bracha. So can you still make a bracha? Amar lehu, so he answered, Rav Chista answered, Mi sha'achal shum v'reichel nodef, yachzor v'yachal shum acher k'dei she'reichel nodef. So if you eat garlic and your breath smells terribly, so what, you would want to eat more garlic to solve the problem? That's not going to solve the problem. You're just going to make it worse by eating more garlic. So you ate a little bit without making a bracha. You're going to go and eat more without making a bracha? Okay, the bracha you're going to make now, it's not going to work on what you ate already. But at least it will work on what you haven't yet eaten. So Ravina says, Hilka chafil gomer su'udaso yachzor v'yivarech. Ravina says, no. If you finish your meal, you still go back and make a bracha, just like someone who goes to the mikveh and comes out, makes a bracha after his tevilah, just like a ger goes to the mikveh and makes a bracha after his tevilah. Gemara says, no, that's not comparable at all. The ger couldn't make the bracha before. Gavra lo chazi. You could have, you just didn't. And therefore, after your meal, it's too late to make the bracha. That's the Gemara. Gemara tries to compare making a bracha after you eat to making a bracha after going to the mikveh. A bracha on going to the mikveh is what kind of bracha? Three categories. Which kind? Birchas mitzvah. Bracha on food? Birchas hananim. The Gemara assumes, yeah, of course it's going to play by the same rules. Then the Gemara says, no, it's a little different by the Tevilas Ger, because Tevilas Ger, he couldn't make the bracha beforehand. That's the Gemara. The Rambam in Hilchos Brachos writes that a person does a mitzvah and doesn't make a bracha, if it's a mitzvah that's still ongoing, so then he could still make the bracha. But if it's already too late, it's already passed, the mitzvah's already over, then he can't make the bracha. For instance, shechting an animal. So I want to make a bracha, asher kishon m'sos yitzvanu ala shechita. But I shechted the animal already, and I'm done, and whoops, I forgot to make the bracha. I was so nervous, but getting the shechita right, I forgot to make the bracha. So is it too late? So the Rambam says, too late. Can't make the bracha. The Hagos Hashri quotes from the Orz Haruah, not that way, that you still can make the bracha after the shechita. Now, why would you say you can make the bracha after the shechita is over? What's the precedent? Where else do we have that? Tevilas Ger, you can make it afterwards. So why after the shechita should it be any different? But Tevilas Ger, you can make the bracha afterwards.
So the animal was alive.
Yeah, so... So the Shach in Yoredeya writes that the Gemara sounds like the Rambam, because the Gemara that we just mentioned completely equates Birchas HaMitzvos with Birchas HaNenim, and the Gemara just says, and that's why the Gemara says you can't make a bracha after you eat. So if I can't make a bracha after I eat, I can't make a bracha after I shecht. Makes a lot of sense. The Gemara said Tevilas Ger is different because he was Dachoy Meikara. He was someone who couldn't make the bracha before. But otherwise, the Gemara completely equates to a Birchas HaMitzvah with Birchas HaNenim. And the reason the Gemara equates them, says Rav Shechter, is based on Rav Salvechik's idea that the Rambam holds that it's a matir. That just like a Birchas HaNenim is a matir, a Birchas HaMitzvah is a matir. So now the Gemara asks the Shaila, right? The Gemara asks, someone who ate and drank and didn't make a bracha. What are we asking? Can you make a bracha afterwards? Birchas HaNenim we know is a matir. So what's the Gemara asking? Can you make the bracha afterwards? Reformulated, that question means, then we know the matir works before. Does a matir even work l'mafreya? I forgot to be matirit. It's like if I borrow something from somebody. So generally the best thing to do is ask permission in advance. May I borrow this from you? If I borrowed it and returned it and didn't ask permission, is it still okay to go over to him? Is it still worthwhile to go over to him and say, I'm sorry, I didn't ask permission, but I borrowed that thing from you. I hope it was okay with you. There's nothing you can do. If it's not okay, it's too late. If it's not okay, but the Gemara is asking, is that okay? After the mitzvah is over, after the meal is over, I already ate. Can a matir work l'mafreya? No, because it's matir henceforth. Meaning from this point forward it's matir. But what I did before in Achinami, it's over a bottle, it's done. Right? So the Gemara's real shaila was, good, Birchas HaNenim is a matir. A matir should be done before. Can it be done afterwards? Is it still okay? And the Gemara says, no. You can't do it afterwards. Once it's all over, it's over. Gemara says, what about Tevilas HaGer? Tevilas HaGer is different. We didn't explain that yet, exactly. Just, he couldn't do it before, somehow it could be done afterwards. But in general, Birchas HaMitzvos, according to the Rambam, is a matir also, can't do it afterwards. Can't make a bracha on the Shechita after the Shechita is already over. Now, the Shach raises this issue, why is that true of a Birchsa Mitzvah? And the answer of Shachta suggests is that, but again, Birchsa Mitzvah is a Matir, just like a Birchsa Nenin is a Matir. And he says, and that's what the Rambam means by Kishem, Kach, that's the Lashon of the Rambam, that Kishem that you do make a bracha on Hana'a, so too you make a bracha on a Mitzvah, meaning that they're both a Matir. So now I understand very well that the Gemara's conclusion is you can't be Poel a Heter l'mafreya, and therefore a Birchsa Mitzvah can't be done l'mafreya either. So that's where the Rambam gets this idea that if the mitzvah is ongoing, so it's like a meal that's ongoing. If the meal is ongoing, so if I ate some garlic, I wouldn't want to eat more garlic, I wouldn't want to eat more without a bracha. So if I ate something from the meal and I violated one aver of eating that, don't keep doing more averos, make a bracha now. And from that point forward, same with the mitzvah. The mitzvah is still ongoing, I can still make a bracha. The bracha is what to be chal on. But once it's over, it's over. The problem is, according to this understanding of the Rambam, why is it that Tevilas HaGer is different? Right? Why is it that a Ger, you would not make a bracha on Tevilas HaGer? You would make a bracha, rather, on Tevilas HaGer after the Tevila is over. So for this, Rav Shechter explains, if you look at the third to last line on the page, it's verse number 7, he writes, V'yesh lomar shalofa'amim tiknu chachamim birchas ha-mitzvah lo b'kesher la'asiyas maisa ha-mitzvah usually a bracha is on a maisa mitzvah. We've discussed this a lot in the past already. Usually a bracha is on the action of the mitzvah. Normally an action comes together with a kiyum, sometimes you can separate them. Usually a bracha is on the maisa mitzvah. That's the way a bracha works. But every once in a while the chachamim are misaking a bracha that's not on the mitzvah itself, it's on a chalos, it's on something that comes out from that mitzvah, something that emerges from that mitzvah. Umei ata yesh lomar, meaning a status change. The bracha on gerus, he says, is not on the maisa of tevila. The bracha of tevila, it's ala tevila, it's same bracha, but it's not on the maisa of tevila. The chachamim were misaking that bracha on the status of being a ger. That's what the bracha is on. The bracha is on being a ger. Mimela, so long as you're still a ger, which you will be for the rest of your life, if you are a ger, right? The bracha still is what to be chal on. When the chacham were misakin that bracha, they weren't misakin it like every other bracha. So what emerges from this idea is a very important rule. In general, if you couldn't make a bracha before a mitzvah or during a mitzvah, once the mitzvah is over, according to the Rambam, it's too late. You cannot make the bracha anymore. You have missed the opportunity. Why is Tevilas HaGer different? Because Tevilas HaGer is not a bracha on the Maisa Mitzvah, it's a bracha on the Chalos Gerus, on the status of being a ger. And that is ongoing. That's the way the Chacham were misakin the bracha. So says Rav Shechter, if that's true, what about the following situation? By a ger katan, what do we do? Ger katan, you have a young child that they're converting. Whatever the circumstances are that you're allowed to convert a young child. A couple adopts children, they want to avoid mamzerus problems, so they adopt a non-Jewish child. So they want to convert him. So he goes, dip him in the mikvah, right? He's a kid. He's not going to make the bracha. He's a child, he's a katan. Who makes the bracha? Who makes the bracha for the kid? Right, the rabbi, the beis din, they make the bracha on behalf of the child, right? And he goes into the mikveh. Now, if the reason that Tevilas HaGer, the bracha on Tevilas HaGer, is done afterwards, is simply that, look, he's not a Jew yet, so he can't say Asher Kedishonim Mitzvot V'Tzivanu, how could he make the bracha? There's no Asher Kedishonim Mitzvot V'Tzivanu, right? Well, by Ger Katan, who's making the bracha? It's the rabbis, man. They're Jews. They could say Asher Kedishonim Mitzvot V'Tzivanu before the Tevila. So maybe by Ger Katan, you should make the bracha before the Tevila. But according to the Rambam's understanding, that the reason you make the bracha afterwards is not only because you couldn't make the bracha before. It's that since you couldn't make the bracha before, the very nature of the bracha, the Chacham decided to be misakin a different sort of bracha. Instead of being misakin a normal Birchsa Mitzvah on the Maisa Mitzvah, they were misakin a bracha on the Chalos. If that's the case, then even when Beis Din is being matbil him, it would make sense that they should make the bracha afterwards also. Because it's not a bracha on the tevilah, it's a bracha on the chalos. The chalos only happens after the tevilah, the chalos keros. So this analysis is not only academic. Right? This analysis of the Rambam Shita will chap enaf gemina by a tevilas ker. So essentially, the Rambam is different than other Rishonim in certainly by Birch HaMitzvos in general. Whether Birch HaMitzvos can be said after the mitzvah is over already, the Rambam says no. Other Rishonim say yes. Tagos HaShri says yes. The reason the Rambam holds that way is because the Rambam understands that there is this very strong link between Birch HaMitzvah and Birch HaNenin. That just like Birch HaNenin is a matir, Birch HaMitzvah is a matir, and you can't be matir l'mafreya. Just like you can't make a bracha rishona after you already finished eating. You can't be matir a mitzvah l'mafreya after you already finished the mitzvah. Tevilas Hager is not an exception. Tevilas Hager is an entirely different kind of bracha. It's not a normal Birch HaMitzvah. It's a bracha on the chalos, and a bracha on the chalos comes afterwards. Why did the Chum decide to make a bracha on the chalos dafka by tevila sager? Because otherwise they wouldn't have had a bracha at all. Had they just had if the only thing they would have discussed was a regular birch mitzvah by tevila sager, there couldn't have been a birch mitzvah, because he can't do it before he's not a Jew yet, and afterwards it's too late. So that motivated the Chacham to be misakin a totally different kind of bracha for Tevilas Hager. I think this helps explain another problem that we discussed before. We said before there is a Tshuvas HaRashba. A person doesn't make a bracha on the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. Right? Why not? So the Rashba says, because the ani may turn you down, not take your money, and then you will not have done the mitzvah. So you can't make the bracha before, and it might be a bracha levatali. You can't take that chance. So the kasha is, why not make the bracha afterwards? Why do we make no bracha at all? And the answer, it's not just tzedakah, it's any mitzvah ben adam l'chaveru that we have like this. So why don't we just make the bracha afterwards? We do that by tefilas hager. According to this, it's pashut. Tefilas hager, the chacham thought, should not go without a bracha. And therefore, they broke the rules. They made a new kind of bracha just for that. They never made such a new kind of bracha, a new chafetz shel bracha for giving tzedakah. The only option is birch samitzah. After the mitzvah is done, it's too late. There's no chalos. There's nothing to make a bracha. There's no chalos of giving tzedakah. I have money, now he has money. There's no chalos. There's no ongoing status change on which to make the bracha after. The Chum couldn't even be misakin a bracha on the chalos. So perhaps maybe the way to say it is like this. Whenever the mitzvah is such a mitzvah that you cannot make a bracha beforehand, and it creates a chalos, the chachamim are going to be misakin a bracha on that chalos. When the mitzvah cannot have a bracha beforehand, but there's no chalos, so then there's just not going to be a bracha. There is a Rambam that talks about the birchas erusin, the bracha we make before or when we get married. So when do you make the bracha? Before the Maisa Kiddushin or after the Maisa Kiddushin? Before you put the ring on the finger and say Haram Kadeshusli, or after you do the Haram Kadeshusli? So the Rambam says you make it before, because he says just like you make a bracha before you do any mitzvah, so too you make a bracha before you Mekadesh Nisha. Same thing. Being Mekadesh Nisha, Birchas HaMitzvah, you should make the bracha beforehand. Now, the Rosh, famously, Maseches Ksuvos, says, what are you talking about? This isn't a Birch HaMitzvah at all. This is a Birch HaShevach V'Odah. What kind of Birch HaMitzvah is it? Asher Asa Lanu Asa Arusos, Vitu Lanu Asa Mesuzos, Lanu Adi Chupa V'Kedushin. If it was a Birch HaMitzvah, it would be Asher Kishar Mitzvah V'Sivanu L'Kadish Isha. That's a Birch HaMitzvah. We don't make a Birch HaMitzvah. This is a Birch HaShevach V'Odah. But the Rambam assumes it's a Birch HaMitzvah. And he says, that's why you make it before you do the mitzvah. Says the Ravid. And what if she says no? What if she's a runaway bride? Say, Baruch Tasha, you say the whole bracha, you're ready to put the finger on, she pulls her hand back and runs away. Now it's a bracha levatala. So what do you do now? Now you're stuck. So says the Ravid, for that reason, you make the bracha after the kiddushin. Frekta, I think the Mishnah Melech asked the kasha, wait a second. If For that reason, you make the bracha after the kiddushin. By tzedakah, the Rashba says, by tzedakah, the guy might not take the money. And therefore, it will be a bracha levatala maybe if I say it before. So what do? I don't say a bracha at all. You can't say it before because they might not take it. So you don't say a bracha. So there's no bracha. And that's what we paskin. So why by a birchas erusin does the Ravid say that she might say no, she might run away, and therefore might be brachal atal, and therefore how should the sentence have ended according to the Rashba? We should have said, and therefore don't make a bracha. But the Ravid says no, make a bracha, just make it afterwards. Why would I make a bracha? Make it afterwards. Oh, but tevilas hager and kiddushin have something in common with each other. What do they have in common with each other? They both create a chalos. They both create a new status. What's the first thing the Masada Kiddushin says right after the Kiddushin? I don't know if you ever listen, if you ever hear this. It always says what the Edim say, or everyone there says, Mekudeshas. What does Mekudeshas mean? She is now Mekudeshas. She now has the status of an Arusa. She is now an Eshes Ish. Her entire status changed. Whenever it's chalos, there's bracha on the chalos, and there's no possibility of making the bracha beforehand. The chachabim are going to be misakin a bracha on the chalos, and a bracha on the chalos comes afterwards. That's why dafka by tevilas hager and l'shitas harayvid birchas erusin, it's done afterwards. What about the Rambam? The Rambam l'shitas also should have said it's a chalos, you make the bracha. No, but the Rambam holds that you could make the bracha before the erusin, that it's not a problem, that you didn't have the problem. By a ger, you couldn't make the bracha before he goes to the mikveh. He's not a Jew. He can't say Shekhar Shalom Sosa Mitzvahnu. But by the Arison, you could. You could make the bracha before the Arison. According to the Rambam, what are you worried about? She's going to run away. Most people, before they get married, discuss that they're actually, you know, going to go through with it. They, like, work it out in advance. That, you know, we're making this whole big party so that we will actually, you know, leave married tonight. That's generally the way it works. So the Rambam's not so worried that she's going to say no. He's not so worried about a bracha. If you stop and walk over to a woman on the street and, you know, do the Harei HaMekadesh, maybe you shouldn't make the bracha beforehand. Maybe that's not such a good idea. But if it was planned beforehand, so the Rambam's not so worried that that's gonna lead you in that direction. Says Rav Soloveitchik, just a couple more minutes. Says Rav Soloveitchik, this is why it's this connection between Birchas HaMitzvos and Birchas HaNanim that puts the whole discussion of Overlas Yasan in our sugya, in our Gemara, in Sukkah Daf Lamed Ches. Soloveitchik raises the issue. What's it doing here? So he quotes the Yerushalmi that I mentioned before, is Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Rav Huna, whether you make a bracha on mitzvos over las yasin or not. And he says, L'chora makes a lot of sense. He says, what's the yisod of Machlokas? Is birchas mitzvah like birchas hananin, that it's a matir, in which case you would make it before? Or is it birchas mitzvah like a birchas shevach? Definitely not its own category. It's one or the other. I'm praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the ability to do this mitzvah. And therefore you do B'shas Maisa. Best is Shevach while you're experiencing the Shevach. While you're looking at the Grand Canyon, you make the bracha. While you're hearing the thunder, is even better than waiting till afterwards. While you're experiencing the Shevach. That's the Machlokas. But he says, what's the Gemara trying to prove in the context of our Gemara? The bracha that we said that's Tali and Minog is only the bracha after Hallel. But the bracha beforehand is not a Minog that you have to do. You have to make the bracha beforehand. Why? Because what's the Gemara trying to say? Because it's a mitzvah. You must do it. It's not just a Minog. It's a requirement. It's an absolute. And therefore, what are we trying to say? That it's a birchas hamitzvah. If it's a birchas mitzvah, it has to be done before. So the reason that Shmuel holds, the reason that our Gemara says that kol mitzvos kulam varchale and over las yasan is because it's a birchas mitzvah works midin matir. Why do you make a bracha over las yasan? Because you have to be matir the mitzvah. That's how birchas mitzvah works. If it was only a birchas shevach, so then it wouldn't have to be done over las yasin, it wouldn't have to be done before. from Shmuel's psak, you see that it's a mitzvah. So what's the context of our Gemara? We're trying to show that it's not just a minhag. We're trying to show that it's a mitzvah. So it's dafka in that context that we get into this whole discussion of Ovelas Yasan. Because dafka Shmuel that says that it has to be Ovelas Yasan, because that's what a birchas mitzvah is, that a birchas mitzvah by definition is a matir, not just a minhag ba'alma. And that's why the sugya shows from here that over is done with Nea Maisa, because through that we're showing that Abaye is din, that the bracha has to be said before the halal. That's a mitzvah, not a minhag. So that's how Rav Soloveitchik explains the context of our Gemara. What I want to get into, unfortunately no shir tomorrow, but on Sunday, do have yeshiva Sunday, is Rav Yosef Engel has a slightly different spin. He thought of this concept also, that there's a connection between birchas mitzvah and birchas nenin, but he took it much more literally. He understood that a birchas mitzvah is a birchas nenin because of the great hana'a you get from doing the mitzvah. And that, of course, opens a Pandora's box, because then you have to get into the whole sugya of... anybody? Mitzvah's lovely hanas nitnim. Is that really called hana'a when you do a mitzvah? So that's Rav Yosef Engel. We'll get to that on Sunday.